It's 12 Enough, Season 9, Episode 9, with your host Jonathan Malone and guest host Brent Newberry. Twelve Enough is a podcast about Christian faith and culture in the modern age. Your host, Jonathan Malone, is the pastor of the First Baptist Church of East Greenwich, Rhode Island. Brent Newberry is the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Worcester, Massachusetts. Worcester. Worcester. Not to be confused with Worcester, Ohio, where they spell it phonetically. This podcast is brought to you by Sweet Iced Tea, because you need to enjoy life. And unsweetened iced tea, because if it isn't harsh and bitter, then it isn't good for you. And we're back. Brent, now you're from the South, right?
Yeah.
So is there such thing as sweet iced tea, or is it just all iced tea should be sweet?
Yeah, it's just variations of sweet. I mean, even unsweet, I imagine, is sweet.
Right.
The thing is, I don't even like sweet tea.
You don't like sweet? So they don't even call it iced tea. They call it sweet tea?
Yeah. Well, I don't hear iced tea a lot. I don't remember that. It was always all sweet tea. Some people would say unsweet tea, but it was never iced tea.
Why would you go south in Mason-Dixon and ask for unsweetened tea?
Or ice. Yeah. It's just assumed.
Right, yeah.
I see. No one drinks hot tea down there. It's too hot.
Huh. That would ruin my whole experience of tea. I'm a hot tea drinker. I don't drink iced tea unless... Yeah. Well, sometimes I do, but I enjoy a nice hot tea.
Snooty places like Dallas still drink tea.
Is Dallas snooty?
Oh, yeah. So you've got, like, Austin has the Keep Austin Weird.
Right, right.
Waco came up with Keep Waco Wacko.
Oh, and not just, like, let's keep the crazies out?
Yeah.
Maybe they should rethink their...
I think they already tried, but anyway. Dallas is Keep Dallas Pretentious.
Is that the bumper stickers for that?
There are t-shirts.
There are the t-shirts?
They're probably polos.
They probably are. Actually, what it is on the guy riding the horse, on his polo, it's written, right. Keep Dallas Pretentious.
But it's this polo stick. Yeah.
It's hard to see, but those who know it's there.
That's right, yeah.
So, all right, so folks, for those who don't know, Brandon is my guest today. I'm at the wonderful First Baptist Church of Worcester, Mass, Massachusetts, for those who don't know the shortened nomenclature.
And welcome.
Yeah, it's my first time actually to downtown Worcester.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it seems nice. You seem like, this church seems like it's in a nice part of downtown Worcester.
Yeah, so the church moved, 80 years ago, it moved out here. It was in actual downtown.
Oh.
And then there was a fire, they had to build again, and they came out here. And then this is kind of, actually, Park Avenue is kind of the line that delineates the richer parts of the town from the rest of the town.
So this is the richer part of the town?
Yeah, if you go on that side of the church. We straddle it, apparently.
Oh, good. So
technically,
but you could be the bridge.
That would be my dream, if we could be the bridge.
Could be. I haven't gotten there yet.
Like any church, we all have...
nicely done.
None of us have arrived.
Nicely done. Nicely done. And you've been here for not long, right?
Yeah, 8 months.
8 months.
Yeah. Oh, which is still surprising
to me
that they haven't gotten rid of me yet. No, I'm not
I mean, it takes so much time just to call a pastor. They probably want to give you at least a year.
Yeah, make sure it was worth it, I suppose.
Yeah, and they don't want to go through that whole search again, make it worth their while, paying for the move, all that stuff.
I wonder if there are any studies for, like, the length of time that the search committee put in that's...
Oh, correlating with the length of time the pastor stays? Probably not. No. Yeah. Who's going to pay for that study?
Yeah.
So now, I mean, as we'll come up in our main topic, which will be the next episode, you are from the South.
Yes.
What part of the South?
Well, I've moved around the South.
Oh,
so
okay.
I don't even know where to say.
So you're a good ambassador of the South.
I suppose. Or
you are a Southern ambassador.
I don't know if I'm a good ambassador. I have certainly experienced
I do want to let folks know that Brent right now is wearing a complete seersucker suit with a corncob hat. Is it a corncob hat?
I don't remember seeing those, so...
But it's one of those a straw hat and the bow tie and the seersucker suit. And he did ask that I call him Colonel, but I said that's where I draw the line. Sorry, so what part of the South... parts of the South have you experienced?
I have lived in Mississippi.
Okay.
I've lived in Florida and then Texas, so... Florida doesn't really... I don't count it sometimes. No. It's like its own world.
My understanding is if it's the panhandle part, that's Southern.
Which I have not done.
Yeah, that takes a lot of guts to live in that part of Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like an extension of Mississippi, Alabama.
Okay.
Out that way.
But Mississippi's still pretty good credentials.
Yeah, I think I can say I'm a Southerner. High school, college, after college.
Now, what'd you do with your accent?
Well, see, that's the plus to having been in Florida before.
Oh, okay.
That it was such a downgrade in my mind to move to Mississippi. At the time,
From Mississippi to Florida.
No, I was in Florida before that.
Oh, okay.
And then we moved to Mississippi.
So Mississippi's a downgrade from Florida.
At the time, I was in ninth grade, and so I was fighting it. I get there, and people have Confederate flags flying, and I didn't understand, because I thought 100 years before we had ended that.
Right, right.
So this is as a ninth grader, of course. Totally get it.
Totally
makes sense. That's why I've got it.
Yeah, right. Folks, he does not. I'm not even going to make that joke. But you don't call it the War of Northern Aggression anymore? Or you don't?
No, but this is actually very sad. There were friends of mine who... would celebrate Robert E. Lee's birthday because of where it fell on the calendar, and sadly it was MLK Day, and so they were that.
It's one thing to say he was a really good person or a brilliant general, but to say let's just stick it in the eye of,
and so that's what I kind of moved into, and so for me I just thought I don't want to have any part of this, and didn't have a choice in moving there, and so I fought really hard, so I don't say y'all, I don't say fixin' to. Do you know what that means?
Fixing to. I think I can figure that out.
Yeah, I'm fixing to go run an errand. Or
right, okay.
Run to the store.
Right.
Walmart.
I'm fixing to go. Yeah, I was telling Brent on the way up here, there's a Walmart Way, a street named Walmart Way, and isn't it interesting that the Walmart store was built on Walmart Way?
That's providential.
Worcester is a forward-thinking town.
I think so, I think so. We've got Gap over... on the other side of town too, Gap Lane.
So as soon as Gap's ready to put their headquarters here.
Which is next to Target Lane. We have two lanes that kind of parallel.
See, that was smart.
Yeah.
It's Worcester. Really good. It's a place to be tomorrow.
Yes. If you're a billion-dollar business.
Yeah,
yes. Works out well.
In Boston, Worcester is considered the edge of the frontier. I lived in Boston for a while, and like civilization goes all the way as west as Worcester, and then after that it's all just frontier land.
Yeah, so we're included in.
Just barely.
Oh, okay.
You're like the fortress town.
How great! Because what I've heard is when I tell people I live in Worcester, which I don't even know if I'm saying it quite correctly. Sometimes it sounds like they're saying Worcester, Wista.
Worcester. I'm not even gonna try. I'm a New Yorker, so I don't.
I can do a Southern accent. I can't do a.
Well, yeah, a Boston accent. Forget it.
But anyway, they say that they kind of put on blinders when they walk. You know, I don't know how to do this on a podcast with my hands, but you know, blinders with your hands.
Right now, Brent is putting his hands right next to his eyes.
And then they drive by. And so I got the impression that they don't want to...
It's like the dark spot.
Eyesore, yeah.
I don't know. You're not Springfield.
Which I don't even know what that means yet.
Oh, well, think of Worcester, but smaller and sadder.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sad.
New Yorkers, it's like Utica.
We're going to have to build before.
Ohioans, it's like Springfield.
Floridians, it's like Apalachicola.
There we go. See, that's a town name.
Well, that's like that panhandle region.
It feels, sounds like, oh, it's the whole region, because Apalachicola, it's like, it was just Appalachian, they're like, maybe if we add cola to the end of it, we'll get some money from the Coca-Cola company.
Well, like Pensacola, I think, it actually might be its own town, I don't even remember, but like all that cola, I don't know what cola means, I'd be interested.
I thought it was just a soft drink.
Yeah, which they say Coke down in the South.
Oh, that's right, Coke is just everything.
I've started saying soda up here.
Good for you. Don't say pop. Pop is wrong.
Well, when I lived in Kansas, I said pop, so it's...
Oh, yeah, no, that's wrong.
It's so confusing.
Except when you're doing youth events, pizza and pop works really well on a poster.
Alliterative.
It is. It's very alliterative. Yeah. I did enjoy that in Ohio.
Pizza, pop, and fellowship.
Pizza, pop, and paparazzi.
Party.
Pizza, pop, and party. Pizza, pop, party.
Pizza, pop, party.
So, yeah, we'll get into why you're here. And you were a part of the Southern Baptist for a while, too, right?
Yes.
Did you get a card? Were you a card-carrying member?
Yeah, I probably could have been. I'm a recovering Southern Baptist, is what I...
Yeah. I know I've had former Southern Baptists on the show before, but this is going to be kind of the focus of our conversation of what that's like, because I still have yet to meet an actual, like, still active and proud Southern Baptist.
So I'm not, when you say, could you elaborate on that, when you say a proud Southern Baptist?
Someone who's, you know, a company man, someone who's gung-ho about the convention.
Okay, because I am now not.
I know you're not. Yeah, okay, that's, we'll make that clear. Okay. Brent has left the Southern Baptist Convention and gladly left.
Yes, okay. Yeah, then fine. I'm. It is a part of my story, a part of my journey. And I have traveled several Baptist denominations to end up where I am. And
with the American Baptist Churches USA.
That's it.
Probably one of the many great Baptist denominations in the country and the world.
My ordination standing is still pending. I still have to go through that.
Oh, you should have done it in Rhode Island because I'm chair of that committee. I could have snuck you through.
Oh, yeah.
That's a very Rhode Island thing that I just did.
Yeah. Well, good for you guys. They're lucky to have you.
Well, thanks. So before we get into the Rylage, you have a box of books here. I'm going to get the box.
Yes, okay.
All right. Folks, if you didn't hear that grunt, that was me actually doing physical labor. So you said
a new sound for the podcast.
I know, right? Like, geez, he actually does that?
Maybe you can use that as
I like
a,
how you put this one up. So someone gave, a retiring pastor gave Brent these boxes of books saying, here, you could use these.
Two different pastors have done it.
So, okay.
So there's a collection now.
Boy, there must just be this, like, collective feeling of sympathy for you.
Yeah, I don't know if they took a look at my shelves and really were questioning what I have up there.
Your books seem fine. The word commentary is interesting.
I like it. It's a missionary who developed Alzheimer's. Man, all my stories are sad. But while he was still kind of
still
mentally
with it.
Yeah, I was trying to think of another way to say that. But
he knew
he wasn't going to be using them, and he. He wanted to help me out, so
they're pretty good. They're fairly academic.
Yeah, they're a bit dated, I suppose, but they're pretty.
Yeah, well, they are pretty, but I describe them as a watered down version of the Anchor Bible commentary series.
Yes,
Anchor Bible is.
I would love it, but it's so there's so many and so expensive, and I keep bringing it. I was trying to figure out are they revising it or
because they're rereading the Bible and saying we missed this verb, so we're gonna look at a couple of the books. We're not going to look at a lot of them and have fun with them. Is this the one you want to look
at?
No,
the one above it.
Oh, so here's
because
one.
Because of that right there.
Marcus Barth.
Like, oh.
Yeah, but this isn't the Carl Barth.
I know. I was like, oh, all I saw is the side right here. And it said
Barth. And it said like, Barth. Oh, Barth. Right,
okay,
yeah. So
it's on justification.
On justification. It should be Carl Barth. So clearly Marcus Barth, who also was in Germany, was trying to rip off the name. Like, if I just title something that would be by Carl
like
Barth, then
younger brother.
I think Marcus Barth is actually a decent and reputable scholar. Then he has on top of here, Guilt, Theory, and Therapy. Yeah, I need to take this home with me and read it, actually, just for my own stuff.
Do you want to talk about it?
I promised myself I wouldn't cry. Liberation in Middle America by Gabe Facker. Gabe Facker used to teach at Andover Newton. Andover Newton Theological School. I don't know about Liberating Middle America. This book was probably written. When do you think this book was written?
Yeah, let me look at the cover again.
All right.
Yeah, so. I want to guess like 78.
71.
Oh.
I wouldn't keep it. Toss that one. Let's see what else we got here, just real quick. We're just going to look at a couple here.
Gabriel Facker.
Faith and Practice of New England. Oh, this is a New England Yearly Meeting of Friends. This is a Quaker record book.
I feel like I should keep that.
You should keep it for historical interest, but I don't know how it's going to help you as a Baptist. But.
It will help me to remain ecumenical in spirit.
Yes, that's right. You remember, though, that Baptists and Quakers originally hated each other.
We have grown.
You need to hold on to that animosity. Yeah, okay. Don't let go of it. Hold on to it.
Fair enough, okay. I'm going to get rid of that book then.
No. Keep it so that you can learn
about the enemy. Hold on.
Yeah. All right, so here we got the enemy. Quakers are great. We love the Quakers.
I've said that all along.
Yeah, I know. All right, thank you, Brian. Here you got Religion and the Rise of Skepticism by Franklin L. Baumer. I don't know this book. I doubt this will be any good.
Okay.
Did you get that, what I just did? Rise of Skepticism.
Oh, I doubt I had to tell you that. Well, it was just the title is a while back, so.
So here's Christianity and History by Herbert Butterfield. It's too fattening.
Butterfield, got it.
Nice. Thank you.
I like butter though.
I do too, actually. This is The Dimensions of the Church by Avery Dulles. Wow, this is old. So do you know Avery Dulles?
62.
Oh, 62. He's guessing 67.
Hi.
Okay. But Avery Dulles, is now Cardinal Avery Dulles, wrote a groundbreaking book called The Models of the Church.
Okay.
Which is one of the great works of ecclesiology out there. This is
clearly
an early incarnation of it.
I need to put it next to my Quaker book.
Yeah, put it next to the Quaker book.
Once I get it, the other one.
Alan Walker, another good writer. A Ringing Call to Mission. We're going to just look at one or two more. I guess that sounds out. I want you to say this person's last name for me. I'm going to give you a chance to say stuff.
Gunter Lankowski.
Wow, nicely done.
Is that right?
I don't know. I don't know his name.
How would you do it? You can't copy me. Unless it was...
Lankowski.
Oh, true. There's a W.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kopski.
So,
Kopski.
I mean, that's good just for the... And just one more. For example, this book might be interesting. This book is titled, For Example, Illustrations for Contemporary Preaching.
Oh, contemporary. That's such a perfect example of contemporary.
Right. And I
opened... use of the word.
Yeah, it is, actually. So, and I opened up, and one of the things I find is Catherine the Great, very contemporary world leader.
Very much so.
With a great reputation for her love of animals. and also then it's talking about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, another contemporary.
Absolutely. That makes it hard to date this then.
Franz Kafka.
Huh.
Which I would use Kafka in an illustration, but that's just me.
Is that what happens after you've been doing it for 14 years?
Yeah, right. You're just like, I'm just going to go to the heavy stuff. Here's, they were talking about the ABC newscaster, Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's now deceased, right?
I don't know. I guess so, yeah. They did that Super Bowl commercial with his voice, but...
So 1977, contemporary preaching. Well, it seems like you have a lot of great books here for your...
I'm glad I did this with you, because I wouldn't have known them. So I'll keep this on the table here.
Well, sacred writings. I mean...
Gunter Lankowski. It's $1.45, so I feel like...
In the used bookstore, $1.45, or
oh, it's printed on there. You kind of lock yourself in when the price is on the cover, I think.
Well, yeah,
and it's not like it's a sleeve that you can take off and change
the
price. That's
true. Yeah, $1.45, sacred writings. Maybe this book has value and merit,
and something.
Yeah, Buddhist text, Janus text, the Quran, the Dead Sea Scrolls. What the heck?
Sacred writings.
Sacred writings, a guide to the literature of religion, and I can't find a date for when this was printed. This is a text. Oh, 1956.
The
first publication in 61 in English.
Wow.
That's very forward-thinking. Very forward-thinking.
There we go, Gunter.
Yeah, Gunter. Anyone who has an umlaut in their first name has got to be pretty decent, right?
I know.
Because, I mean, you think of all the beating-ups you get at school.
When you don't have the umlaut?
When you do have the umlaut.
Because
they're like, umlaut boy, hey, where's your second dot? Why is the colon always on the side on your head? Or, you know, although you didn't hear these. We always found the one kid with umlauts in their names. I mean, we were cruel. We were cruel kids.
Not a lot of umlauts in Southern names.
Really?
Just not. There's a lot of drawn out names.
Yeah, that's
somehow true. Brent became Brent.
Brent,
and it's like two syllables almost, like Brent.
That's nice though. I like that. So Jonathan could be like a whole afternoon just to say it.
Yeah.
We won't even try.
But then if it's too long, then you shorten it. So like Mississippi becomes Mississippi.
Oh.
And it's like you drop out two of the crooked letters and squish it back a little shorter. So Jonathan, you'd just go by John probably.
Yeah, or Johnny, which I hate.
Johnny?
Yeah. See, you even said it with a Southern.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
So before we go to our Routledge, I do have one more question to ask you.
Mm.
What is four eyes but cannot see? Don't answer it. Let's go right to Routledge.
Routledge. I'm talking about Routledge.
Okay, are you ready for the answer to that riddle?
I'm ready.
Mississippi.
Wait, oh, I wanted to guess.
Oh, sorry. Here, you want to do it again?
No, I'm just kidding.
I can edit it all. All right. Our Rileage. Okay. So I'm going to go first because I think yours is going to be a good closer.
Okay, well, we'll see.
I'm ticked off about epistemology.
Okay. Lay it on me.
No, that's all I'm saying. All right, what did you... So for those who aren't clear with that word, that's a word that's not used enough. It needs to be used more. And it's really the theory of knowing. How do we know? And there's actions of epistemology or practices of epistemology that are happening that are so erroneous in our culture today, that are so erroneous but not critically thought about, that I think that it is driving me nuts and I think causing a lot of trouble.
Like emojis?
Worse than that.
Okay.
I mean, those are fun. But yeah, those are still problematic. I mean, the worst one that I saw was at the Republican National Convention. Ooh. They had whoever the Antonio guy is, one of their C-list actors.
It wasn't Banderas.
No.
Antonio Banderas.
I know. But some guy who's a celebrity, and he was saying, Obama's a Muslim.
Mm.
Right? And the journalist-ish person was saying, how do you know that? I mean, he said he's not. He goes to a church, and he's like, I just feel it. And because I feel it, I know it's true. Oh. And that's a statement of epistemology. Where do you garner your truth from?
Huh.
And this idea that if I feel it, that it's true, then it must be true, is becoming a prevalent way in which people are garnering their truth. Mm-hmm. So what we feel. Another is also that, and that is just, I mean, how can we, okay, so there are certain points where that has to be true, but it's so subjective. So then to take a subjective truth, like, I feel like asparagus doesn't taste great. I actually like asparagus, but let's go with that now. Because that seems to be an often maligned. Or kale. Let's go with kale.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. I was eating kale yesterday just because I needed something green. Yeah. But I was like, this is just not good.
Yeah, I feel like it's not very good.
I feel like it's, yeah. And so it's one thing for us to say we both have tasted kale. We've had the experience of eating kale. And our feeling is that it doesn't taste very good. So the truth that we have about kale is that it doesn't taste good. But someone else could say, I've had kale, I've had a lot of kale, and I've cooked it different ways, and it's pretty good. So there's some subjective truth there. And the danger is when we start to say, objectively, kale is horrible. Now, we could say that about...
Brussels sprouts.
Yes, Brussels sprouts, objectively, unless they're cooked in bacon grease.
Yeah, okay.
But then you're not eating Brussels sprouts anymore. You're just eating sponges soaked with bacon grease.
Which would be good, too.
Yeah, it would be good, and then deep fry it.
Texture, maybe not, but...
Yeah, but after that point, who cares? I've just put tofu in bacon grease and eat that. Anyway.
That's too far.
Yeah, that's too far. I crossed the line for a friend.
Go back to Obama as a Muslim.
Yeah, that's easier conversation than tofu and bacon.
Yes.
It's a new version of pigs in a blanket. So to project that subjectivity onto a broader understanding and making an objective truth, that's really dangerous, and that's a lot of what's happening. I feel this is true, so it must be true. I feel all immigrants are dangerous, so they must be dangerous. That drives me nuts. But we also see this perception, epistemology of perception, where I look at the news and I see these Islamic cultures or people who are claiming to be Islamic doing these horrific acts, therefore Islam must be horrific. Right, so our epistemology is based on what we see some people doing in the name of or claiming, which, you know, has happened with Christianity. People have done really stupid and horrific and odious things in the name of Christianity. And we're constantly saying that's not what Christianity is about. There's many good books in that box that probably says that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to find them. You know, so that kind of epistemology as well, that if I see this happening, even if everyone else says, well, if you read about Islam, it's not that kind of religion to say, but I see people doing it, so therefore it still must be bad. That kind of epistemology, I think, is also dangerous. This one of, if I see it happening, therefore it must be true. If I see two people doing it, therefore everyone must be doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, sociology gone amok.
So do you think that's a purely American or Western problem? It seems to me the increase in our need to be individual, to be self-governing, autonomous individuals, that kind of thinking, it seems like that could then empower you or enable maybe you to make those kind of leaps that it's about me subconsciously, so
yeah.
I make that judgment.
I think there is certainly something about the American ethos that is counter-establishment. And so if it comes through experts, if it's like doctors say, there's a part of just the American persona that will have this gut reaction saying, well, just because the experts say so doesn't mean it has
right.
to say so.
Right.
And that, you know, that's a big part of the religious tradition that we're a part of. There's always been this skepticism of intellectualism amongst Baptists. Hooray.
Yeah.
Which obviously I've totally embraced. I mean, you just can't trust the eggheads. That's all there is to it.
I just thought that was a Southern Baptist, not just Southern Baptist, but a Baptist in the South kind of a thing.
I think that part of the split was that cultural tension.
Mm.
And the American Baptists, in the efforts to try to be inclusive, excluded those who really want to be ignorant.
Yeah.
Is there a nicer way to say that?
Uninformed.
That's nicer. Let's go with that. Those who prefer to be steadfast in their lack of knowledge.
Yes, or in their less studious practices.
They're trusting of the word and nothing else.
Hey, okay.
Like there we got that. It. Yeah, there we did it. Now, if I was nice, I'd edit it just to that, but I'm not going to. I want people to walk with us down this thought process.
Yes. Okay, good. That's very, very good of you. It's a very pastoral thing.
That's how we learn. Yeah, walk with it. We're modeling.
Yeah, and I'm learning, so thank you.
Well,
this is how it is to be a pastor.
This is how, don't use me as your only example. Oh, no. Don't use this podcast as a forum for learning how to be a good pastor.
Fair enough.
So, I think there is, but all that being said, there's a big part of Americanism that plays into this kind of ethos, this epistemology, or I would say this poorly practiced epistemology. If I was to suggest anything, which I was going to, because why not, it should be an epistemology of study and learning and inquiry, that's what I do anyways. But if you're not sure about, is Obama a Muslim, why don't you do some reading on it? Why don't you find some sources? Why don't you see about the church he said he attended? If you really are that concerned, find out if he's been a member. Go to him and ask if he's been baptized, and ask him to talk about his faith with Jesus Christ. Now that's probably not going to happen.
Mm.
But those are the things with Islam. Read some decent books about Islam. Like, learn about the core ideas of that faith tradition, and talk to some Muslims.
Yeah.
Talk to other people who aren't like you. If you think all immigrants are dangerous, go talk to immigrants and say, what's it like? Tell me about your story. Tell me about your experience. Try to learn a little bit instead of just taking the stories, the narratives that are pushed on you by certain groups, which all have biases, and then start to garner what your sense of truth is, and then always leave room for that further inquiry. Say, this is where I am right now, but there might be something else I could learn. That's the hubris added to that, especially that what I feel is true, and bringing the hubris in that makes it so, so dangerous. And a lot of the foment I think we're experiencing or seeing in the political realm right now, it comes out of this, you know, a very particular way of knowing and claiming truth. And that's why I know I'm not angry, like I'm not shouting, because that's not who I am, but it does really worry me and really bother me, and it's not just anti-Muslim, and it's not just anti-this. I think it's really wanting to hold on to a certain way of claiming truth that is closed to all sorts of other things.
Yeah, you wrapped that up so well, but I have another thought though.
Yeah, please. Yeah,
I wonder too if our kind of mindset. I say our. I'm thinking generally.
I thought it was like shared yours and mine.
Yes, the way you and I love to be entertained, or we see life through the lens of what is fun, or am I bored? And so we'll binge on Netflix so that we aren't bored.
Yeah,
because we don't know what to do when we're bored.
Right.
And so there's that element of learning that is hard work.
Yeah.
That I think makes this difficult, but then also this. I don't even know how to phrase it, but this idea that we are so insulated or like in a bubble with people who are like us.
Right.
And it's scary. It's uncomfortable for some. It's scary for others to get outside the bubble that you've kind of set yourself in or been raised in, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. and meet people who are different than you. And so they become, at first it's uncomfortable or foreign. And I don't just mean cultures, but just, well, maybe cultures, but not right. just another nation, nationality, but it's a foreign experience. And so then it becomes more difficult and scary. And then scary fear leads more easily to anger, to making someone your enemy. And so it seems like it's such an uphill battle
yeah.
to get people to, especially white people, to be friends with people of color, because there's such a gap in lived experiences beyond just philosophies of life, but lived right. experiences that how do you do that in a mutual way? And then branching out into other religions and
right.
It's such an uphill battle, and I don't know how you do it, besides what you're talking about.
And I think, you know, I love how you put it that way. I think that's really good. And for us to claim, to own that we all have preconceived truths, and you know, we may or may not verbalize them, but they're there. Hmm. And when we engage or interact with people who are not like us, those truths are going to be challenged. And that can be scary. That can be threatening. Yeah. And that can really take our whole foundation. I mean, for example, I have a very difficult time talking with people who are cleanly shaven. You know, Brent has a beard. I have a little goatee thing here going. And that's one of the reasons why I said I could do this. Now, if you were a cleanly shaven yeah. pastor, I've said, no, I can't. I don't know what it's like. I don't know if your face is going to be itchy or you're going to yeah. be touching your yeah. chin. I mean, who knows what you could do?
Lived experiences.
Yeah. I would have to actually maybe shave my face and see what it's like. I don't want to do that because yeah. I know for a fact, I feel not. That it's not okay to have a cleanly shaven face.
Yeah,
if you're a right. grown man.
Right.
And I feel that so strongly that it has to be true.
Absolutely. I agree.
Well, there's our truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Write some articles, post it online. Let's go.
Yeah, maybe Huffington Post will pick it up. So, but I think that willingness, I like especially your part about hard work
yeah.
and being bored. That willingness to push ourselves, to challenge ourselves with whatever truths we have, whatever comforts we have, and to say, am I willing to be uncomfortable with the idea that it'll bring me to a better place eventually? You know, that's what exercise is, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to make myself uncomfortable mm-hmm. for a while with the idea that I'll be better. So this is exercise of the mind, and not just the mind, but the whole, your sense of self, so that we can deepen ourselves.
And to the other point, if you see a different way of life as opposition or as what an enemy would live, then that's not something to aspire to. So it kind of fulfills itself.
Yeah. So you should read that book about the Quakers.
Absolutely. I can't wait. Is it just minutes, though?
Yeah, it's just minutes of meetings. A lot of blank pages from the
silent. You don't happen to know of any Quaker theologians off the top of your head,
actually. Rufus Jones.
Okay, I'll go that route.
Yeah, he was a big influence on Thurman, on Howard Thurman.
I don't want to be bored, you know.
Right. You could sit in the silence of the spirit, which is what Quakers do, and just let the spirit. But no, read Rufus Jones. Like I said, big influence on Howard Thurman, great Baptist, Baptist theologian. Rufus Jones was at Haverford College, I think, and maybe at Oberlin for a bit. Go Oberlin. Yeah, anytime I can make an Oberlin plug, I'm happy to do it.
Have I told you our music minister here went to Oberlin?
No, I didn't know that.
You'll have to.
Oh, when? Is he much older than I am?
No, he's young.
Oh, okay.
You're old.
I'm old.
He's young.
Compared to him, so.
He's like, actually, I don't know how old he is. 26, 27, something like that.
Yeah, I'm a little older.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just a little.
Yeah.
It's all relative. Subjective.
Yeah, yeah, it is. For folks who don't know, I'm actually 87.
You look really good.
Thank you. Thank you. It's all the unsweetened iced tea that I drink.
Sugar. It's so bad
that
for you.
That sugar will get you. All right, so what's your Riley? Right. I know you have one that's also just as important and profound.
Now I have to think of a new one.
No. Okay. Stay with the one you've got.
I've been flying a lot this year for different things. And
in airplanes?
Yes. Okay. I wish it were like a superpower, but it's not.
Right?
That would be awesome.
Or at least hot airplanes.
I would not have a complaint if it were a superpower. That would not be my Riley.
Right. It wouldn't be apropos.
Yes. So if you don't get checked in early enough, say Southwest or
something. Yeah.
Then you get stuck in the C range. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. But yeah,
so yeah, ABC. Southwest has this open seating, freedom, feel goodery approach towards seating.
So if you are like me, not a super organized person, you forget, then you're stuck with C42 or something. You're one of the last ones. So you're going to the back of the plane and it's gonna be
a middle seat.
Yep. Yep. And that is this is what bothers me. I don't mind the middle seat all that badly, except you don't get an armrest.
Right.
Somehow the two people on the side of you get two and you get none.
And that's unjust.
It is to me anyway when I'm stuck in the middle. If I'm on the aisle, though, I don't give it up either. I'm going to keep it. I will say this. If I'm on the aisle, then you get nudged a lot if you're leaning too much on the outside one. But I don't want to give that to the person who's on the aisle when I'm in the middle.
Right, right.
But what I don't understand is why you can't do on that middle little armrest, can't you make it two?
Right.
It's not going to make it that much harder.
At least make one of the two of them a double.
Yeah.
A double armrest. Right. Probably the one on the right side because the majority of people are right-handed. And are you left-handed?
No, I'm right.
Yeah, so the
person on the window can lean into the window, and they almost always do because they go to sleep.
Right. Or hog the window when you're launching or landing. Launching? Taking off.
Taking off, yeah.
Yeah,
well, launching if you're in the shuttle.
That's true.
They don't do the shuttle anymore.
Well, because they didn't have armrests. The astronauts kept clocking each other in the face with their arms.
Yeah, that's dangerous, too, at that speed. But anyway, so if you have, even if it's the same width, but it's two armrests, then you can determine for yourself, this is the individual.
Well, there'd be an unspoken rule that if it's a double, the one closer to me is mine.
Yeah, don't cross it.
Yeah, don't cross my armrest, jerk.
And I'm not a big guy.
No, you're not.
I get kind of...
For those who don't know, Brent probably weighs about 110. But he is 6'8".
It's really weird, and so the legroom's really bad for that. But anyway, so...
His arms are at least 4 feet long.
It's not like I need to, spread out because I'm super wide, but it's just the principle that I don't get an armrest if I'm in the middle.
It is the principle of it. And because you're the last one on. And it's un-Christian, because Jesus said the first...
Shall be last, and
the last shall be first. So the last one's in should be the first to claim the armrest.
Is that going
to
be our text today?
That could be. It should be, but it wasn't what I picked. But I think it's good, right?
My goodness, yeah. That's,
you should, especially if you're flying to the south, where there's this blanket assumption that everyone's Christian, right?
Yeah, right. And hospitable. Because those are normally exclusive.
Right. So. Usually if you're Christian, at least here in the north, they are definitely. Yeah. But you should say, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
In the name of Jesus Christ, who did declare, verily, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. As the last one on this plane, I do claim first.
Sir, would you please just sit down? That's what I'm going to hear from one of the flight attendants.
How old's your Bible? Do you have a good old Bible to lift up? One that's bendable, full leather?
Yeah.
You know, a preacher's Bible. A good preacher's Bible.
Yeah.
I'm even holding my hand in the way the preacher would hold the lift up. You've got one, yeah. You should carry it with you outside of the carry-on.
Interesting.
And say, in the name of Jesus Christ. If you could throw a thick southern draw on that too, that would be good.
Jesus Christ.
There we go. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I claim these armrests.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like that people are doing that all the time down there, beating people over the head with their Bibles, so I don't know if it will have the same impact.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little bit of an overstatement. See, when people don't know me, they know you and your sarcasm. They don't know me and mine, so right now they...
Right, right. They're probably saying, what? I am never going to the First Baptist Church of Worcester.
Yeah, they probably quit listening.
No, I mean, if anyone, all those who would have quit listening because of jokes like that had quit listening by episode 3.
Yeah, okay.
So you're safe.
Fair enough. Okay. Wait, so this is season 9?
Yeah, we're in season 9.
Okay, so
episode 9 of
this
season
is around 9. The time when TV shows jump the shark.
Oh,
have you jumped the shark?
Do you know that
phrase?
Yeah, I do know from Happy Days.
Yeah, right.
And though there's a great scene in Arrested Development when who's the actor that plays the Fonz? Man, I just lost his name. Henry, I lost his name, but he jumps a shark.
That's awesome.
In Arrested Development. Folks, if you haven't watched Arrested Development, first of all, shame on you. Have you watched Arrested Development?
I didn't watch the last season. I got through half of it.
Yeah, the last season, I watched it a second time and I liked it better the second time. Anyway.
When I get bored and I don't want to apply myself or learn,
I'll watch Arrested Development because at least it's... Watch it twice, and at least that's somewhat thinker's comedy. There's depth in the joke.
That was a snooty thing to say.
I know, I'm like that. Well, my blog is Theological Snob, so...
Yeah, okay.
I own it, at least. Least I own my ism.
Yeah, good. Snobism.
Yeah, well, it's mostly against pastors.
Isn't it snobbery, though?
Snobbery?
Snobbery.
So it should be theological snobbery?
Well, you can't change it now.
No, because I am a theological snob.
You would know better than I, probably, too. So
sure. Well, I mean, this is called Rylage, which is not a real word.
Fair
That's
enough.
That's a made-up word.
And I got off track.
That's all right. So, but here's the thing. So let's wrap up your Rylage.
Yes.
If you're on the airplane, and if you want to be compassionate, if you want to consider yourself an actual Christian, you give up your armrest. Yeah. Although we know...
I turn the other armrest.
You turn the other... Nice, there it is.
Yeah.
Turn the...
I hate it.
If you were in the middle, though, and if someone offers you their armrest, you should offer it back. And offer both armrests.
Yeah, you guys can lean over me and reach to this other one, too. Armrest, man.
Well, there's a whole shame factor going on with that passage. So you should be doing it to the person who in their just lack of sensitivity, takes your armrest. Then you should say, why don't you take my seat as well? Or have my leg room, too. If you're going to take the armrest, why stop at the armrest? Take my area as well. I will just scrunch up in this tiny little bit. That's what Jesus would have done.
Yeah, I might have said those things, but in a less sincere manner. It might have been more sarcastic. Oh, you want my armrest? Why don't you have my leg room, too?
I wonder if Jesus was also meaning a little bit of sarcasm,
very, very
too.
Nice, yeah.
If there was a shame thing going on. All right, so folks... Consider where your truth comes from and how you garner what is real, and be sensitive with the armrests.
Yeah.
Nice. Good Rylage.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're going to read from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Blessed be his soul. Blessed be his saint.
R.I.P.
Blessed be R.I.P. He's dead?
Oh.
What? So we're reading from...
Too soon. Make jokes about that.
He died well. He died well. Mm. We're reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. So we're getting close to the end of Matthew, verses 69 to 75. And Brent has, now, as my loyal listeners know that the authorized version is the NRSV. But Brent, you have the, what is it?
The Common English Bible.
The CEB. Common English Bible. So this is the even...
Off-centered Holy Bible.
They have the name off-centered. It's a good-looking Bible, though.
It is.
It needs to be a little worn in. You need to have some tabs on it or something. It doesn't look like you read it enough. You can't... Yeah. It's like a baseball glove, right? You got to oil it. You got to put it under your mattress.
Tell how much you use that thing.
Exactly. It needs to look worn. But Brent's going to read from the CEB just so we can hear something a little bit different. And I will beep every time there's a different translation. No, go ahead.
Not because it's any bad word.
No.
I usually read ahead of time so I can like do this well, but I'll try it off the cuff.
I mean, you're a professional.
I think it's a sign. I opened right to it.
You did open right to it. So God wanted us
crazy
to read this.
All right. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. The servant woman came and said to him, "You were also with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it in front of all of them, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about." When he went over to the gate, another woman saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." With a solemn pledge, he denied it again, saying, "I don't know the man." A short time later, those standing there came and said to Peter, "You must be one of them. The way you talk gives you away." And then he cursed and swore, "I don't know the man." At that very moment, the rooster crowed. Peter remembered Jesus' words, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and cried uncontrollably.
Yeah, I tried to pick one of the happier passages.
Yeah.
This is a good happy-go-lucky guy.
Peter.
Yeah, I gotta love him. Bless his heart. The verse that I wanted to really lift up.
I think I know where you're going.
Which verse did you think I was going to really...
Well, as soon as I read it, you must be one of them. The way you talk gives you away. I don't know how NRSV...
The NRSV, so this is verse 73, for those who are following along at home, says, certainly you are one of them, for your accent betrays you.
Yeah.
And you, someone who has disguised your accent, you're a charlatan of sorts, a vocal chameleon, if you will.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
You still got to work on losing your R's. You don't sound like a New Englander yet.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever do that, but I don't know. I'll try it. Worcester.
Worcester.
Worcester. I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Can you say like wicked hardcore?
Car is the last word.
Wicked hardcore. Wicked hardcore.
I thought you're saying wicked hot car.
No, like, wicked hardcore.
Texas
wicked
hardcore. Yeah. Wicked
hardcore. That's wicked. It's wicked hardcore.
Wicked hardcore.
Do you, what do you guys call water fountains here?
Here?
Yeah, in the Worcester area. Do you know?
I don't know that I've heard anyone say
You call it a water fountain?
Drinking water fountain. Yeah.
Bubbler.
Bubbler. Bubbler, like drop the R at the end too?
Yeah, of course you drop it. Bubbler is the correct pronunciation, bubbler. But bubbler. And in fact, I was just with some youth in D.C., and one of them said, like, oh, I'm really thirsty. Is there a bubbler around here? And I said, I don't think there's any in the world, because those don't exist. If you're looking for a water fountain, and then there's one right over there, but there are no bubblers around here at all.
So that's a Rhode Island thing.
Maybe it is. Rhode Island's weird.
I don't think I've heard that. I'll ask around.
Ask around.
I'll email into the
I'm looking for a place where I can get a drink in a public space. What would that be called?
I mean, I feel like a bubbler would have been a soda fountain.
All right, so you've heard of soda fountain.
Soda fountain, yeah.
But not a... that's the thing. They don't call it a soda bubbler.
But you would think that's what you would be talking about.
Right. No, when they say bubbler, they mean... Anyway, that idea, I love the that passage. Of the Synoptic Gospels... I didn't check the Gospel of John, but of the Synoptics, this is the only one, and that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke for the listeners. This is the only one where the emphasis is on the accent.
Interesting.
Others have said, says clearly you're a Galilean. Mm-hmm. Another one says, I just know we saw you with him. But this one says, your accent betrays you. That's a passage that preaches itself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And just in the conversation we were having, I was just thinking about, that's why I wanted to talk about that. Right. What are some thoughts that you have that when you read that, what came to your mind?
I think I don't think of regionalism outside of the States, because I'm so American centric a lot of times, but to think of, especially in a context like this, to think of Galileans as having a different accent.
Right.
It never crosses my mind. I mean, I assume maybe Samaritans, just because they're hated, there's got to be another reason to pile on, right?
But right.
A Galilean, I mean, Jesus was all up in that region, so I just assume. I mean, maybe Jesus had, I guess Jesus would have had the accent too, I don't know, but, I guess not, if he's coming from.
I don't know. I
maybe he adopted it.
I wasn't there.
Maybe he didn't. Maybe he had the perfect non-accent.
Would Jesus have an accent?
Probably not.
Yes, he would.
The perfect non-accent.
So you would speak like an Ohioan?
Midwesterner, yeah. I wonder if it's a reference to maybe Aramaic or something like that. I don't know. I mean,
but what about the idea of trying to hide who you are? Because this is what Peter was doing.
Yeah.
He was embarrassed.
Yeah.
He's trying to hide who he was. And I like that idea of, like, why would Matthew, you know, the author of this gospel, really pull that out? Certainly there's a lot of tension, Jewish-Gentile tension as well. And we don't have this, it's not clear that the person, the servant girl or the other one are Jews or Gentiles. That's not clear. So it could also be part of that tension. There could be that tension of educated and uneducated. Nazareth was an uneducated area, more rural. So, you know, the Gospel of Matthew may be trying to pull out that tension. But I think, if nothing else, that idea of Peter is really trying to hide himself.
Yeah.
He's really trying to blend in, to be a part of the culture.
I mean, I think that's... and what's interesting about that is there are two ways to do it. You can blend in order to understand your context. For instance, some of the things we've been talking about. How do you how do you lead, how do you live as a Christian in a context that it's foreign, you know.
Right.
And so there's a sense in which you want to blend in a little bit in order to not be...
So like, you're not going to be wearing, like, Yankees paraphernalia here in Worcester, right?
No. Correct. As a Yankees fan, it's still a secret. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows?
I did not tell them.
You haven't?
I thought on my one-year anniversary I might.
Then you would say... Go Yankees!
Yeah. I don't know what I'll say. It's stewing in my mind, but
right.
Yeah. So there is that sense in which there is a part that you don't want to just come in, and just be so different, so stark in how you present yourself.
Right.
That it's a turnoff.
Right.
But on the other hand, what you're talking about, hiding who you are to the extent of, you know, because it's a shame. Issue or because of fear issue, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I think that's a really powerful perspective to pull out of that text, where I'm just hearing it in the context of, you know, joking about Southern accents and things.
Right.
But to really think about how you change who you are, hide who you are, because either you're ashamed of it or you're afraid of what will
happen. Right, right. And then the idea that no matter how much he tried to hide, he couldn't hide all of who he was.
Mm.
His accent still came out.
Yeah.
And I think that for us to take, so this is a pastoral, you know, so here's like the pastoral theological imposition.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a biblical scholar, so I don't do the deep exegesis. And I know folks like Michael Strickland, friend of the show, he'll roll his eyes because he'll say, no, that's not what it says. I don't care, Michael. I don't care. Write in at 12enough@gmail.com. No, so there's that idea that if we are truly Christian, then we can never fully hide it.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like this assumption that when, you know, or this trope that when people who are trying to hide their accents, when they get upset, you know, when they get emotional, then their accents come out. You know, I don't know if that's the case for you, because I get the impression that the Southern accent, it just isn't true to who you are.
Yeah.
That if I got you really ticked, you wouldn't start saying y'all and drawing. You know, that's not. It'd be fun though, and if that was the case, I'd start poking you until.
Let's try that.
It's. But that idea of when you're pushed, then who you really are comes out.
Sure.
And, you know, so that's in a way our accent, but if we're really true in our faith, it should always kind of be there. It should be a tinge, a part of our speech. It should color how we live, like an accent does.
Yeah.
And if it means people will have projections on us, will make assumptions about us, so be it.
Yeah. And looking at the last verse of that section, I mean, you know, Peter went out and cried uncontrollably in CEB translation.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know it's referring to that he actually did deny Jesus.
Yeah.
But there is that sense in which, to take kind of what you're talking about a little bit further, and more personal, less maybe specifically religion, but when we're ashamed of who we are.
Yeah.
And we try to sell ourselves as someone else, it just sometimes further deepens some of that self-hatred and some of those issues.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of self-hatred going on for Peter, mostly because he denied Jesus, but probably also because he wasn't true to himself in that moment and realized it later. So
that's a lot. This is a lot of sessions of therapy that he's going to have to go through to figure this out, which he never got to do.
Well, unless you read John and you want to believe that feed my...
Well, there, sheep, I would say I he know. Came up short. Hmm. He could never meet the love that Jesus asked him to give. Because Jesus said, do you love me, agape? And Peter kept saying, I love you, philia.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jesus then finally said, fine, do you love me, philia? And Peter said, of course, you know I love you, philia, but I can't go where you want me to go. Poor Peter. He really, I mean, can you imagine if he just had, like, let's say 6 to 10 sessions with a psychotherapist? The Catholic Church would be so different today. I think I can say that as a certainty and a truth.
You feel it to be true.
I feel it to be true, so it must be
true. But I mean, you could also say that then Jesus is still accepting Peter for the amount that he can give.
And that's the hope. And even here, when Peter tries to deny even that part of himself that has become, that can't be hidden, and tries to deny that, Jesus doesn't deny him.
Yeah.
Jesus doesn't come back and say, look, you betrayed me, denied me, so I'm done with you. He says, all right, come on, let's try this again.
Yeah.
I'm still going to love you. And that's really good. So I would say for our listeners, you know, read this passage. Read the whole Passion's narrative. It's really powerful. But think about what your accent is. And if you don't have a Christian accent and you profess to be a Christian, if you don't, then okay, that's fine. But if you profess to be a Christian and you don't see yourself as having an accent, if someone would come and say, like, oh, I never knew you were a Christian, mm-hmm. then maybe you're hiding too much.
Nice.
So, Brent, what are you into?
I am really into fantasy baseball.
I knew it.
You did.
I knew it. I was gonna surprise Even you. Though I saw on your computer fantasy football.
Yeah, it was baseball.
Look how quickly you corrected that. Yeah. Like,
I don't play fantasy football. yeah, it was pulled up, so I was clearly working hard.
Working hard on the sermon.
Here, so. Yeah, fantasy baseball. I love baseball, favorite sport.
Have you been to Cooperstown?
No.
You're not far now.
That's true.
I mean, relatively speaking, yeah, you're not that far.
That's true. I mean, it still feels far in my mind, but that's still the Texan part.
Yeah, it's about everything's far away. 5 hours.
That is, huh.
Really,
you can't even get across half of Texas that
way. You see? It's 5 hours from the Baseball Hall of Fame, from Cooperstown, New York.
Would I be close to Niagara Falls at that point?
No.
No.
You'd still be probably another 4 hours, three or four hours to Niagara Falls.
Well, yeah, love fantasy baseball. Some baseball purists will say that it's, you know, you're not really a baseball fan if you like fantasy baseball. For me, I'm actually able to enjoy the whole sport more because I have certain players that I root for.
So instead of rooting for one team, you root for players.
Yeah, so it is not just because the Yankees haven't been good for a while that I find myself not as taken by
the Yankees is a team that plays baseball?
Yeah, they are.
Okay, good. Want to make sure I'm following.
Good, good. It's not because they've been bad as much, that's part of it, but it's also because I'm just generally a bigger fan of the sport in the last...
Is there a certain player that you particularly follow and enjoy right now?
There are a few. Yeah, so like Ichiro Suzuki just last night hit his 3,000th hit, which is a milestone.
With a bat?
With a bat. Okay. With a stick, yeah. stick ball. He plays stick ball. So it's actually a rock that he's hitting. But anyway, so that's a milestone. Like only 30 players ever.
What team does he play for?
And now he's with the Miami Marlins. Did you know that was a team?
I did know the Marlins.
They used to be Florida.
So I always knew them as the Florida Marlins.
A few years ago for...
Same state.
Marketing, I think.
They just wanted to really hit the Cuban market?
Yeah, I think if you can say Miami, it sounds better. Just like the Angels are now Los Angeles Angels.
Not the California. I remember when Reggie Jackson played for the Angels.
So maybe the Rangers will become the Dallas Rangers. Who knows? That's not a
hockey team, isn't it?
New York Rangers.
Oh.
Texas Rangers are baseball.
Man.
I was just... following along.
So what's the
I gotta slow it down a little bit.
What's the Dallas hockey team?
The Stars. So you go over my head when it comes to theology, and then I'll dumb it down a little bit with sports. Is that
thank
fair?
You I appreciate
yeah.
that
yeah
so this guy who plays for the Marlins hits really well.
I'm not a big fan of his, but that's just a milestone.
And is he on your team?
Historic. No, he's not very
so
good.
So it hasn't helped you.
He's not very good anymore. He's like 42 or something.
Oh, okay. So who's one of the great players? Who's? Oh, yeah, that is old.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that is.
One of the great players.
On your team.
Best player in the league right now is Mike Trout, and he's on my team.
Oh, nice. Is he official at?
He is on the Angels, but I see what you're doing. if you were on the Miami Marlins, that would be something.
Well, thanks for following me along with that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You just let that joke
die. So like in my league, I've won 3 in a row championships, so I'm doing something well.
Do you get money for this?
No, in that league I haven't won. those guys are better, I guess.
Oh, okay. But still, that feels good, though, to say I've won 3.
Yeah. So it's fun to kind of be up on it. There's so much. There's this whole field
how's your
called
pitching staff
Sabermetrics. Pitching staff's pretty good.
Yeah, so Sabermetrics, is that what you
mean? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big deal. What's the movie that kind of features that?
Yeah, it was the one with the... A's guy, but
yeah.
I can't think of.
I can't remember the name of the movie.
Moneyball.
Yeah, good movie.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
So there are podcasts that I listen to besides yours, and they are just fantasy baseball.
Thank you for
related. Yeah. So, yeah.
If you have to listen to another, I guess that's fine.
Yeah. Right.
So fantasy baseball.
That's my thing. That's my jam.
I want. I get it. I get how that could be fun and doing the stats and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't disparage it at all. I do want. So listeners out there. I want someone to develop a fantasy baseball or football, I don't care what sport, but fantasy in the front, where it's made up of Dungeons and Dragons characters.
Where you what about ABC Pastors?
That would just be sad.
I don't know how you'd score.
A whole lot of meh.
Baptisms.
Keep baptism, baptisms. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's really the metric.
But, I mean, I think, like, if you have a paladin and that's batting, you say, like, what's the paladin's charisma score? So the pitcher then would, like, give them an easy pitch if they have charisma.
It's over my head again.
Dexterity skill.
That's and what you're doing.
You can have spells that you cast for repulsion when the person's going to catch it. You're like, I cast a repulsion spell. I mean, this would be a lot of fun. This would be taking the geekdom of fantasy baseball and the hyper-geekdom of Dungeons and Dragons.
With Dungeons and Dragons.
Or enhancing it. And then, here's...
It's like Pokemon of some sort.
Oh, here's where it gets really great. So you know what LARPing is?
Yeah.
Live action role-playing and stuff. Yeah. So then you have a baseball game.
It's really just LARPing.
Yeah. LARPing baseball, where people are dressed up like elves and orcs and knights and clerics and they play a baseball game. This would be...
Babe Ruth has flipped over in his grave.
I know, but think of all the bullying that this player. Would... Babe Ruth, that's right. Yeah. Catholic.
I didn't know that.
He was Catholic. That's what I know about him. So LARPing fantasy baseball, or the Society for Creative Anachronism. Those are the people I knew at the time.
Okay.
But that's not what I'm into. But so listeners, if you can get that kind of league going, a LARPing fantasy baseball league, I think that'd be more fun than football. A LARPing football would just be dreadful. The thing I'm into.
Yes. If you haven't revealed it already.
Yeah, it's a show that I've been watching on Netflix, but it's on IFC, Comedy Bang Bang.
Comedy Bang Bang?
Yeah.
I never heard of it.
I heard of it here and there. Scott Aukerman, and the incarnation I'm watching right now is Reggie Watts, but I believe Al Yankovic is now the second.
Really?
Yeah. And it's,
did he do the soundtrack?
Reggie Watts is the music guy in the first couple of seasons. And Scott Aukerman is the kind of host, and they have a guest on all the time, and then these faux guests.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a talk show.
Gotcha.
But a lot of off humor.
Huh.
You know, a lot of just pauses, awkward pauses, or things that just aren't funny, but are so absurd that I find them very funny. Like Brent just made this kind of move that was like but didn't make any noise. But if we just stopped it, in fact, let's just make that move right now. Ready? Right?
Yeah, that is. Yeah. That's hilarious.
It's very funny.
It's to me.
For me as well. So, so that kind of it probably has its nice little cult following, and I'm well behind the curve, but I've just noticed. Learned about it. It's half an hour long.
You've joined the cult.
I've joined the cult. Huh. And that's why I shaved my head, and that's why I'm wearing the full tunic.
Yeah.
I'm on the Comedy Bang Bang cult.
Wow.
It's really, I find the humor hilarious. I love it. I really do love it. They have guests on, and I think the guests enjoy just having a good time. You know, really just, having a fun time and doing the absurd and... It's fantastic. So Comedy Bang Bang.
I need something to watch that's funny.
Yeah.
I've been watching Bloodline. Do you know that?
I've seen it. I understand it's really good. Yeah. I like it's Kyle, what's his face is on there from Friday Night Lights.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
The guy from Friday Night Lights, Coach from Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's in it. So that's kind of heavy. So I need something kind of
I would say that. Light. Bob's Burgers I've also been watching and really enjoying
that's animated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't like animated shows? You had this disparaging look.
No, that's great.
No, you just go do your little fantasy baseball stuff.
Yeah.
So, Comedy Bang Bang. You can see it on Netflix. I think it still is on IFC.
IFC?
Independent Film Network or Independent Film Channel. Yeah, it's a channel where it's showing some good stuff. Who else is on there?
You must be pulling in the big bucks to be able to have all those channels.
I only know them because I'm on Netflix. I watch them all on Netflix after they've gone out. So I watch Mark Maron's show.
I'll take the platinum package. I want all 400 channels.
Yeah, I know. What I do?
Wait, you don't have IFC? Never mind. Yeah, I'm going to DirecTV.
I'm out going right. I don't even have
this episode sponsored by DirecTV. Yeah.
You know what? I don't have cable.
So you're just watching it through Netflix.
Yeah.
You don't watch it on IFC.
I don't. Gotcha. No. Yeah, all I have is internet. And when we watch television, it's all just the channels we get.
I misunderstood.
Yeah. Don't judge me.
Not for that.
Right, right. As this is the, you must be getting paid well, says the guy in the gigantic office.
It's not that big.
With the marble floors in his sanctuary.
Yeah, someone's been...
It's a nice sanctuary. It's a nice facilities. First Baptist Worcester, nice floors. That should be your slogan.
We have nice floors.
We have nice floors.
Come check them out.
Come check them out.
Yeah, you'll have to do an episode on church signs and things sometime.
That would be interesting.
Some good stuff
out there,
especially Pokemon now.
Yeah, there's been some church gimmicky signs.
Are you a Pokemon stop? We're not.
You're not?
But most churches are, I think.
How'd you not?
I don't know. I don't know.
You could make one. I think there's a way to do it. I think
our music minister, Oberlin guy, has tried.
There's like a crowdsourcing aspect to it. There's a game that precedes the Pokemon Go that Pokemon Go is all based on. The algorithms of that game, which I don't remember the name of it, but the algorithms of that game are what Pokemon Go has used.
Okay.
And that used a lot of crowdsourcing and stuff. So there's a way to do it, but we've gone now beyond my knowledge. And I'm already geeked out with the fantasy Dungeons and Dragons fantasy baseball.
I'm not going to play fantasy baseball anymore. Singing is LARPing.
You could do fantasy baseball Jedi style. Yeah. Have people with their lightsabers swinging at balls, wearing the lightsaber tunics and everything, the Jedi tunics, and Sith versus Jedi. I mean, it'd be great.
So, just to clarify, fantasy baseball is just really like a database?
Yeah.
There's not actual like games. I'm just kidding.
I
dress up in my baseball uniform, but that is
right,
not how you
right. And in fact, for those folks who don't know, Brent is actually right now wearing his 1920s Yankees baseball uniform. Right. It looks great.
Right, thank you.
You look
snugger.
Yeah.
Beneath the
No, I get that fantasy baseball is for statisticians to still feel like they have some connection with popular culture. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. That's all I wanted.
I get it. I get it. So that you can go to the sports bars and still feel like you can connect, although as soon as you geek out on the data.
Everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
All right. So, folks, check out fantasy baseball. It is fun. You know, have a hobby. And have a hobby that you embrace.
It. Yeah.
And don't apologize for it.
Yeah.
Even if it's LARPing.
That's a step too far.
Yeah, too
far. Too far.
Especially Christian LARPing, because I know they're out there.
Oh.
I'm sure they are. That's got to be awful.
Isn't that what evangelization is?
That's passion plays.
Oh, right. It's
Christian
Which
LARPing.
Which is evangelism for some.
I know.
Now I'm being mean.
Yeah. Well, it's well, I think passion plays are culturally insensitive.
Yeah.
Anyways, watch Comedy Bang Bang, if you're into that.
I am going to check it out.
Yeah, I think you'd enjoy it. Curious. I think you'd have the humor for it.
I'm very curious.
Yeah. It's not for everyone.
Okay.
And I think they're deliberate about that.
Do I have to email in to the show to let you know if I did or didn't like it?
If that's what it will take to get an email, then yes, you have to. So, Brent, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for letting me get us off track so much.
Yeah, that's all right. It's part of the fun.
Yeah.
And that's why I made this two episodes, because we've been on this for almost 2 hours now.
Yeah.
Thank you. If people want to reach you, do you have any self-promotion you want to push or a church website or anything like that?
I mean, we do have a church website.
Well,
why don't we go ahead
and share it, just in case?
It's really difficult. So it's FBC, like First Baptist Church,
okay.
- WORC for Worcester.org.
Okay. And I'll post this on the show notes so that they can... I'll just hyperlink it on the show notes so they can see.
That's a lot easier, yeah.
But for those who are driving in their car right now, take your phone and type it in yourself.
And then you can find my picture on there. You'll know what I look like.
That's right. And you'll see that he's bearded.
In my Yankees garb.
In your Yankees garb.
Yeah.
So you have gone out to your congregation.
No. That's true. Good point.
You've outed yourself.
I have now.
Yeah. Well, for all your congregation that listens.
Yeah. You have a wide following here.
At what time is your worship service?
10 o'clock on Sundays.
On Sundays.
So I know a lot of churches are moving to Saturdays, but we're going to stick it out.
Stick to your guns.
Yep.
Hold on to that accent.
Do my best.
Yeah.
Thanks, y'all, for listening.
Yeah, thanks, y'all. Mint juleps, do you like those?
No.
Wow.
I know.
Barbecue, what kind?
I'm actually like a pork barbecue, yeah.
Pork barbecue?
Yeah.
A South Carolina, North Carolina style?
North.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And key lime pie, yay or nay?
I do love key lime pie. It's my very favorite dessert.
I love key. It's not my favorite, but it's really close.
It's up there.
It's up there, definitely. Yeah. I love key lime pie. In fact, I had key lime gelato recently.
What?
I know. Oh. It was good. Had Rhode little Island. Crumbs of crust in it, too.
Man, you guys are doing it right.
I know, right?
Huh.
I'm trying to think of any other southern dishes that...
So, gravy is my love language. That's a southern thing.
Oh. Gravy. Like biscuits and gravy? Or just...
Any of the kinds of gravy, yeah.
Yeah, grits?
Not a grits guy. Not I don't grits. Like the texture.
Mm.
It's gritty.
That's why they call it grits,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Even if I count them?
Even if... Wait, what?
It was a bad attempt at a how many grits joke. That was gotcha. That was a bad attempt. Like, I might edit that whole...
Each little grit.
I know. Oh. Fried chicken and waffles?
Yeah. Cody Sanders, do you know him? He's a pastor at Old Cambridge Baptist.
So. Oh, he's the guy there now?
Yeah.
I did my student ministry there.
Yeah, okay. He found a place because we've been looking.
Oh, so there's a place in East Greenwich that does.
Either way, I gotta go an hour. I guess I'll split.
Yeah, there's a place in East Greenwich that does good southern cuisine.
Really?
They do fried chickpeas.
Not a chickpeas person, but if they're doing it, then that means fried chickpeas. Then yeah, they're doing other stuff.
They're really good. And they have fried chicken and waffles.
Yeah. I'll just settle for good fried chicken, but chicken and waffles,
I've never had chicken. Country fried steak.
Oh, yeah. So when people ask what do I want, I'll say that, or like chicken parmesan.
Oh, chicken parmesan, which is known to be a deep southern.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's sort of the same, only it's
better.
Different kind of.
In my mind, it's better.
Different gravy. It's a red gravy, but
I love chicken parm. Yeah. All right. So anyway, all that being said, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate really it. Thanks for what you do with us.
Oh, thank you. And if folks want to find me, if you're in Rhode Island, so if you're in Worcester or the surrounding area, go to the First Baptist Church at 10 a.m. For some fine preaching, fine Oberlin music. Go Oberlin.
That's right, yeah.
And great floors. And
beautiful
floors. And here's my advice to you. Bring either like a whole thing of marbles or just like a bag full of dice, like 20-sided die, and just drop them on the floor. just let it go.
Please don't. It'd be so loud.
I know. Oh. It'd be so funny. or not. I guess that wouldn't be good.
Our music minister is really good.
I bet.
Oberlin did well.
They have a good standard.
Yeah.
They're well known. The good organ department there.
Yeah.
If you want to find me, if you're in Rhode Island, our church meets at 9:30. Our worship is at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. I know. That's because I just don't want to be around that long. I just got to get out. You can come to... So if you want to send, let me redo this. If you want to send a comment about this show or any other shows, you can send those to 12enough@gmail.com. If you want to go to the webpage and read the show notes for this show or other shows, that's 12enough.com. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/12enough. And 12 is always written out because we're not a lazy show. You can type it out. You can do it. I believe in you. You know, go to iTunes, rate the show, comment on the show, tell your friends about the show, evangelize, be a 12 enough evangelist.
What is your 12 enough accent?
What is your 12 enough accent? And how many souls have you saved to 12 enough?
Very good.
Right?
Very
good. This is bringing them to salvation, away from damnation.
Yeah.
And as always, thank you very much for listening. Twelve Enough is a podcast about Christian faith and culture in the modern age. Your hosts were Jonathan Malone, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of East Greenwich, Rhode Island, and Brent Newberry, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Worcester, Massachusetts. The thoughts, ideas, ruminations, bad Southern accents, good Southern accents, thoughts about Southern food, Yankees pride, Dungeons and Dragons fantasy games, all of those do not reflect their churches, their denominations, their families, their friends, Rhode Island, Worcester, Massachusetts, Mississippi, go Bulldogs, or Alabama, don't go Crimson, or Florida, just go, or anything else. These are their own ideas. This is their podcast, and the tea should be unsweetened.